This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Welcome to Ethnically Ambiguous, a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Hello, Breen.
This is Ethnically Ambiguous.
And I'm Banna.
We have a fun one. That's Banna. I'm Breen. We have a really fun episode today. We're joined by Trisha and Becca. Hello, hello.
Woo!
Great. And we have another roundtable, and we have really interesting discussions about books. Anna makes up a really amazing game that you'll hear about in the first segment. And yeah.
And then we ask a serious question. Why is Berlin so serious? All right.
Stay tuned.
Who are we? Where did we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pants? Why were we born?
We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
Hello, Ethnically Ambiguous here, Shireen and Anna, and we're joined by Trisha and Becca.
Woo! Woo. Hello, hello.
The four of us are here.
Hello.
That's it. That's the intro.
That's the end of the show.
Yeah. No, but Anna and I were thinking of doing another roundtable with Trisha and Becca because...
T&B.
It's... TNB.
My team, TNB, tuberculosis, you know how we roll.
I feel like having a roundtable discussion is, I don't know, it's easier to have like the discussions when there's like more than two people because it's like there's not so much pressure. So I appreciate
it. Yeah, there's that. All that pressure to like, you say something, then I have to say something afterward.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
No, it's really though. I'm being serious here.
And then like I say something and then you have to respond to that.
It's exhausting.
Like conceptually, like it's just like, it's too much.
Yes. You're making fun of that, but I'm serious.
There's so much like back, forth, back, forth. It's like, it's almost as if we are volleying our existence. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Every day.
I'm just losing my mind.
Every day, every conversation.
I do want to give a warning that I am absolutely exhausted. My brain is moving about... an inch a year.
It feels like a trend right now. Everyone, at least all my girls that I've talked to, I feel like we all hit like
all my girls
a season of sad right now. Like,
yeah.
It was like a trend in our little group chat. It was like, yeah, I'm like really exhausted and kind of depressed. And then one of them who Love her. She is an up and at 'em girly. She is up at 5 a.m. Mm. every day. She like starts her day, wakes up, bright eyed, bushy tail. And she's like, yeah, I've been snoozing my alarm, guys. I've been getting up at 6. And I was like, wow.
That's crazy. Crazy.
That is really late.
No longer that girl.
She's no longer that girl.
I will say I have been getting up really early, which is why I'm exhausted, because yesterday I got up very early to go do a tennis thing. And then today I got up really early to take my friend to the airport. I have been getting up really early, and I don't think I've been drinking enough caffeine to combat that. Mm. So that's maybe why I'm in my like 4 p.m. sort of like
slump.
Yeah. God, it's 4 for me, so it's 7 for you guys.
It's 7. Yeah. I've also started getting up earlier, and it feels so late.
I didn't realize how late you guys would have to still be like mentally awake. I'm sorry.
But we still
get to wake up earlier, so, chill in the morning. You
know? Yeah, it's fair.
It's true. Yeah. I don't say anything to them till about like 2 p.m. their time. Yeah. Isn't that crazy? What if your manager just ignored you all day and was just like, hey, what's up? Around like 8 p.m.
I'm like picking up luggage.
You're like, good morning.
Yeah. I'm going to Manhattan to buy something.
Good morning. And they get it at like 5 p.m. Yeah.
Well, it's because unfortunately, nothing really starts like making or just like even remotely going through my mind until about like 2 or like noon.
Yeah, noon.
Yeah.
Noon is when I start to be like, what did I write in all those emails this morning?
Yeah.
I like literally go back and like look at my emails to be like, okay, that one looks okay. Oh my God, what did I write in this one? This one is like just not finished. This one's been in a drag.
Like, did I hit send?
Shit. Yeah. And then I start to really come to and be like, I guess I should like talk to people I work with, which is around the time I log into Zoom to see like TDZ. And then I'm almost immediately annoyed. Like, why am I on Zoom?
Not these guys again.
Not these guys again.
Okay. Try doing a billion TDZs. Every time I hear Jack and Miles talk, I'm like, what are these guys even talking about? Like, that's my immediate reaction.
I'm so impressed at how many recordings you've been a part of that show. It's like mind-boggling to me.
I mean, that's the unfortunate thing, is that I've just been in it for too long, that sometimes they'll be like having a very important conversation about, you know, something that people should know about, and I'm like, oh, it's not good. I go to it less and less because of that, because I think I'm unwell.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm unwell from how many TDZs I've had to be a part of.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Current events and news is bad. I don't like needing to know about anything. I like not thinking as much as I can.
Though, let's be real. Today was a great internet day. I mean, I guess on my Twitter, I saw some of the funniest tweets I've seen in a while.
I mean, okay. Today is September 8th. If you guys remember what happened on this day.
The eighth.
The oldest colonizer that was alive, that benefited from slavery and was rich beyond necessity, died today. The queen died. So
crazy.
The Finera.
Yeah. Yeah.
Queen Elizabeth, to be clear.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Lizzie.
Queen Elizabeth.
Lizzie girl is dead. And
I like that. I've never seen her. I've never heard her be called Lizzie.
She dead.
Well, Lizzie was trending on
Twitter. Oh, it was?
Twitter. It was like just Lizzie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't been on Twitter in a minute. Oh my God, that's funny.
She was 96. Too long to be alive.
Yep. She was 96. Which is 69 backwards.
So long.
Genuinely doubt she contributed much towards the end.
Oh my God. I just opened Twitter and saw this tweet. A second plane has hit Her Majesty.
Oh, no.
We're too close to 9/11.
God.
Yeah,
that's really funny. I mean, that's like what it's been like. It's been like people being like straight savage and other people being like, my queen is dead. And you're like, what are you talking about? What are any of you people talking about?
I know.
And you know, it's that, like, so many people are posting like the "my queen is dead" perspective because they have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But inside, they're like
pretty stupid. Yeah. I mean, like, part of me is thinking a lot of them already had stuff prepared because she was like very old and had problems. Yeah.
So old.
There's another tweet that says, "If you're in line for the throne, stay in line."
I know that one's funny. If you're in line for the throne. Well, okay. So apparently, Charles III, or as I've called him, Charles the Turd, is now king. Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
Isn't that crazy? The one that we were like, what a damn fool, for like what feels like 96 years is now king?
King.
It's almost hilarious.
Well, how old is he?
I don't know. Hard to say.
If, I mean, his mom was 96.
The way he treated our real queen, Diana?
Yes, exactly. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Charles.
He deserves to die.
He's 73.
Oh, God.
So she was only 23 when she had him?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's a baby.
And then to now have him only at 73 finally become king when he's going to go. You know,
yeah,
he looks like a Skeletor also.
I mean, he looks the same age as his mom did, which is weird to me. Like,
literally. When you have that much evil, you know.
Yeah.
But then who says it? Lacey Mosley always says, like, evil, like, stays alive. Like, you can't kill evil. That's why maybe the queen stayed alive for so long. You know, that's why he looks like Skeletor. It takes a long time for evil.
Oh, yeah, her husband or whoever that man was that was always next to her, he looked Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah, like,
it was weird for a while. And then they're like, he died.
All those memes of him in the car, like, he looked.
Yeah, so he's just like. And then they finally were like, he's dead. And I'm like, is he?
It's like, has any been? Like, I don't.
This whole time.
But yeah.
Yeah, well. God bless, the queen is dead.
Yeah, yeah. There was like some scheduled tweets that became viral at like screen grabs of these scheduled tweets about like one of them was very funny to me. It was
the one from Domino's.
No.
Oh, Domino's had one? No, there was something from Canada's Drag Race. It said Happy Canada's Drag Race with the crown emojis. The crown is up for grabs. Who's going to take it home?
And then they deleted it because they're like, ooh.
Yeah.
Like, I saw a TikTok that was like the White House social media manager waiting to send out the most important tweet of their life. That was really funny.
That is funny.
Or the crown, not the White House.
So I guess let's do a roundabout and everyone answer the question. Did we like the queen?
All right. Okay.
I'm waiting.
I mean, no. Duh.
No. None of us. Yeah. I would bet that none of us.
I think
liked
all of
her.
Our countries have been affected in some way or manner by the queen.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, directly or indirectly.
And also, just like objectively, she lived a long life. Like, it's not something to be miserable about. You know what I mean? Like, she lived a long life and terrorized many. She's done her white people thing.
She did her time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, she lived to be the richest, I mean, not literally, but like, you know, in a palace her whole life.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Actually, I have a game for you guys.
Okay.
That I'm creating on the spot. And you have to play it, and it's not a joke. I mean, it's kind of a joke, but, like, you have to play it. It's called Queen or Queef. I'm going to give you some scenarios, and you're going to tell me if that scenario is a queen or is it a queef. Which,
love
I guess a queef
it.
Isn't necessarily a bad thing. It just kind of is.
It does have a noise compared to other things. I don't know. It has a, they can both smell.
Do the queefs smell? I guess
in theory, right?
They can. I said can. I was trying to think of some similarities.
Sometimes when I'm doing jumping jacks, I queef, and my partner's like, can you not? And I'm like, baby, this is what it is.
You're like, this is it.
This is it. It is it. Anyway, TMI, I'm sorry, you guys, for telling you that. Don't ever come near me when I'm doing jumping jacks, except for sometimes when I do jumping jacks in tennis lessons, I fart. Anyway, okay, by accident. I do tell people, you might want to.
Natural things.
Let it airflow.
You might want to back up. I've been known to let one loose when I'm jumping a jack. You know what I mean? Okay. Queef or queen?
Okay.
I'll start with an easy one. Beyonce's new album, Renaissance.
Queen.
There you go. Okay.
Wait, is queen a good thing? Are we talking about Liz, like Queen Elizabeth? Are we talking about?
Yes, we're not talking about the queen, I'm assuming.
Queen is a good thing. Queef is like
queen.
Queen, like how queens use it. Like real queens. The queens of drag. The queens of drags. The only queens I acknowledge.
And queef is just more of like an unfortunate thing, I guess. Not bad, but it's kind of like not ideal to queef anywhere, you know?
I mean, I'll be honest, I haven't listened to it, and I don't have plans to. It's not something that is calling to me.
Wow. Are you giving Beyoncé's Renaissance a queef?
I mean, yeah, I guess. Please don't come after me, anybody.
Hey, guys, her mentions are open, okay?
I don't know. I feel like we get Beyoncé at this point. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to shut up. Anna's making a very surprised face.
Sorry, I transcended time and space. I had to leave my body in order to go save Shireen in the future.
Okay, the one song I've heard talked about her working a 9-to-5. And after that, I checked out. Like, I just can't.
The only single. Yeah. You gotta listen to Cuff It.
And it's not a single. Also, it's an anthem. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Okay, let's talk about, okay, here's another scenario.
Oh, America's got a problem. Sorry.
Okay.
It's on repeat in this house. I'm sorry.
Because it's a queen and not a queef, Shireen. All right. And by the way, I will tell you if you're right or wrong.
So it doesn't matter what you answer.
Yeah. No. I'll just tell you now. I'll give you the real validity. And this game won't last long because we do actually have something somewhat planned. But
will the title of this episode be Are We Queen or Queen?
Queen or Queen?
I guess. Okay. How about when Queen Elizabeth ruled over South Yemen, in which the native Yemenis were separated from the public image while the Britain people were lingered around as if it was their own country? Queen or queef?
That's hard a big queef. Queef. Yeah. Really big queef.
That is a pretty big queef. Really big. I agree. That was a queef if I've ever seen it. They would literally, the queen ordered the troops to violently suppress any and all dissent as fiercely as possible.
Of course she did.
Love that.
Yeah.
Of course she did.
Yikes. That's a queef.
That is a queef.
All right. Here's another one. Corn boy. Queen or queef?
Queen, absolutely.
Yeah, why not? He's the trend, though. Fun.
Queef.
Yeah, I mean, like,
I'm sick of it.
I feel happy that a child is able to find joy.
Yes.
In this time. yeah. That's it about just, that's a queen to me.
Yeah, and it feels kind of rude to call him a queef, like he's a little kid.
That's true too.
That's valid.
Trisha was thinking about it, though, apparently, so.
You know, just had to consider the alternates.
Yeah, you know, fair enough. And any more,
The heat wave that is ruining this world, queen or queef?
I'll give it a big queef.
Queef. You're giving us some obvious ones.
No, it's like, queen, it's time to wake up, okay?
Oh, no.
Climate disaster. You guys, we can't keep going like this. This is a queen move by the earth to tell us we're in trouble.
It's like, gosh, what is that Christmas special with Heat Miser? And like, the one with the claymation one with the two, like the frozen guy and Heat Miser, and they have Mother Earth. They're like arguing with Mother Earth, and she's just like, I'm about to blow you bitches away if y'all don't get it together and like regulate the snow in this little town. I think it's.
I have no idea.
Santa Claus is coming to town? Oh my God. Am I the only one bursting Christmas?
Hold on. Is this like E-Bomb's world? This is a little over my head.
No.
I was thinking of Gromit.
This is Santa Claus is coming to town. It is a claymation TV film by. Directors are Arthur Rankin Jr. and Jules Bass.
I mean, I'm sure we saw it on TV, Korea.
Is the.
Was this like the Rudolph one?
Postman. Yeah, same people.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know which one this is. I don't recall that part.
Yeah, that's a different one. Rudolph is like same makers, same style, different television Christmas special. Mm. But Santa Claus is Coming to Town is by a little boy who wishes for his town to be snowy because he lives in this like Sunnyvale. Mm. And I don't remember the rest, but...
I mean, he doesn't believe in
Santa Claus. Santa's magic. Reindeer gets stuck. Santa gets sick. He's like, I don't believe in Christmas anymore. The kids don't believe in Christmas. And then he finds magic in this little town that gets snow when it wasn't supposed to get snow. That's what I remember. Mm. But all that to say, there's a big moment with Mother Nature who's like, y'all bitches better get it together or I'm going to blow y'all all up. And then they do. Climate change. They were talking about it back then.
Yeah, they
were. 1970.
Wow.
Anyway. All right, that's all I have for Queen or Queef. We'll have to play it again.
Yeah, that's let's take our first break at the end of Queen or Queef. Until next time.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
All right, we are back for 45 more hours of Queen or Queef. Just joking. All right. I know you guys kind of came up with something to do. Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah. Well, we thought about talking about some books we were recently reading or like that have influenced us recently or what just wanted to talk about recently. And then Trisha had something that I wanted her to touch on about a current event that no one knows about. But we can get to that later. That's a good little nugget of a teaser. Exactly.
Yeah.
So let's start with Trisha. What books have you been reading like recently?
Okay. The book I'm reading right now, it's called The Country Under My Skin. And it's by Gioconda Belli. She's a really good writer. And so she was actually a revolutionary in the Sandinista movement in Nicaragua. And so she's just writing about kind of her path in that movement. It's so interesting and like just, yeah, amazing because she got married really young. She had two daughters. And as she was raising them and like working at this publishing house, she was like helping the revolution happened and like having all these secret meetings and being tailed by people from the Somoza regime and the dictatorship for like months on end. And she was also having like a bunch of affairs because she was in this marriage that she didn't like. So she kind of details this amazing, like, yeah, just fascinating life that she had. And it's cool because you get to learn about history through a person and like just their highs and lows and desires. So that's what I'm reading at the moment and I'm really enjoying it. I would recommend it.
Say the title again.
It's called The Country Under My Skin.
The Country Under My Skin. That's a great title, just objectively. Yeah. Thank you for sharing. Reading is good. Becca, give me something. I mean, I'm someone, you mentioned this before we recorded, but like I have like eight different books that I've opened and started, and then just like keep around and open when I remember. So no judgment there. But what have you remembered recently from the books?
Gosh, I feel like you said, I got my finger in so many books right now. I actually volunteer at this bookstore called Mundos on the weekends, like every other weekend. And it's like a Latinx collective, like, what's the word I'm looking for? I mean, it's like a co-working space, but also like a space like purposeful for like educating the community. Like, we provide Spanish classes, and also like the people just like come in and read books. And like, our whole goal is just to like create space in a quickly gentrifying area for the people that were, you know, the original inhabitants of that area. Because it's a very, you know, Bushwick is a very Puerto Rican, a very Latino neighborhood. With that saying, I'm like in there all the time, just like opening a book, reading it while I'm there, and then putting it back. The one book I picked up when I was on the shelf there was actually the Selena Quintanilla's memoir, written by her... did they get married? Her ex-husband? Or I shouldn't say ex, her husband, I guess, because he, you know, she passed while they were together. Oh, wow. But it's like actually a really, for a memoir, like I feel like I've tried to read a lot of memoirs and like celebrity, you know, memoirs. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they're very hit or miss, especially like depending on who the ghostwriter is. But this memoir was like very beautiful because he has been left out of the narrative of her legacy for so long because of her family's like hatred of him for, you know, many reasons. It's a very political conversation to talk about, so I feel like, in the community, because she, like her parents, I feel like took advantage of her income, her legacy, and like everything post, how do you say that,
posthumous.
Yeah.
Posthumous. Yeah. Posthumous.
I like just post hummus.
after snack. Yeah.
After snack. Yeah, they've taken really advantage and try to make more money off of her, and just it's been really kind of icky to see what her family's done after her passing. And she was such a you know, out of this world talent, and their hatred of him for God knows whatever reasons of Latino family machismo. Well, who knows? Like, her father tried to control her brother tried to control her. They all wanted a piece of the pie. And they couldn't have him as a part of the piece of the pie. And so they were like, fuck you. So reading his memoir of her and his like life with her was really beautiful. Because it's a perspective that's very like honest and endearing. And I think is just not something we get to see the way that she's talked about, I think, nowadays. I feel like she's such a cash cow in a weird way for her family. And it's nice to see this very, like, beautiful, innocent kind of, like, this is how I remember her. And this was, like, I'm not trying to get anything out of this. Like, I truly, like, fought to get this book published because her family does not want me to publish this story. And I really just want to tell my side. And, like, the person I fell in love with and who I still love to this day. And it's so clear he loves her so deeply. The book was very moving. I like cried so much reading the bits and pieces I have while we've been in the store. We also have it in Spanish. So sometimes I try to read in Spanish to like practice. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've been reading that. I've been reading Fantasy Island for so long.
Wait, what's the name of that one? The one that you just talked about?
That one, let me look it up, because like I just know it as like the Selena
right.
memoir.
It sounds really good though. It sounds really
good. I
didn't
even know about his existence.
Me either, literally until today.
To Selena with Love. That is what it's called.
What's his name?
His name is Chris Perez.
Oh, I didn't even know of his existence at all.
Yeah, her family makes it a point that they're like, their relationship was never legitimate, and like, you know, he wanted to take advantage of her and fuck her. And that's just like not true, you know? Only the two of them know what happened behind closed doors, obviously. Right. But it is like been very sad to see what her family has done to him over these years. And he's like, I just want to be a part of her legacy and remember her and, you know, be a part of her story. And you guys have made it very clear that I don't get to be. And that's like, this was like his way of trying to be a part of her legacy and being like, this was, I mean, she was my life, you know, she's my wife. And I loved her very much, and I deserve to tell my story. So yeah, I really liked it. But I also have had my hand in Fantasy Island Forever, which is by Ed Morales. And it's a very daunting book about like all the horrors of colonization on Puerto Rico and how Puerto Rico will never get out of debt and will never be saved unless we revolt and, you know, like revolutionize and boycott America and like totally exile. But even then we'll crumple because we have no infrastructure and the government is super corrupt. So it is like a very depressing read, which is why it's been so hard to read it.
They call it Fantasy Island.
Mm-hmm. Because in the idea of the Puerto Rican people, it is a fantasy. Like they believe so deeply that they will become free. And it's just like such a falsehood. Mm-hmm. Even I went to Puerto Rico with my mom last year, and it was like a very healing trip because we had not been as like a, like I had not been with her as an adult. I had been back like one other time. I went the first time when I was 15, and then I went back in college with a bunch of white people, which is like the biggest mistake of my life. And then now as like a self-actualized, like identifying Puerto Rican, like proud person, I went back with my mom, and it was like very beautiful and healing. But we went on this tour. And there's this, what's it called?
Plaque.
Yeah, well, no. It's a rum tour. It was a...
Sorry, you made a motion. I was like, I'm going to just shoot
my brain. Not a plaque. No, technically, it was a plaque. But like, it was this rum distillery. And they have this barrel in the distillery. And on the placard, on the thing, it says, like, for when Puerto Rico is free in Spanish. And basically, like, this distillery... like vowed that they would not open this like rum, like they founded this distillery in like the 1800s, and they would not open this rum barrel, and they would drink it in celebration of Puerto Rico's independence. And to this day, it's like on display because Puerto Rico is not free. Puerto Rico is a colony of the United States, and they are, you know, a territory of the United States. They are not their own independent country. So it is a very important book, I think, for many Puerto Ricans who are stateside to read, because I think we are so purposefully not taught our history. I've never learned anything about Puerto Rico in school besides it is a U.S. territory. I don't even learn when Puerto Rico is bought by the United States from Spain. You know, like,
you don't even learn what that means.
You don't even know what that means. No. And there's so many policies. You don't even understand what the relationship that Puerto Rico has with America, besides the fact that you can go there without a passport. Like, there's just so many things this book has taught me. But it is very hard to read. Like, it is like, if you are like reckoning with your past and your history and like your culture, it's like, woof, it's like shed a tear. You're reading it, you know, I put it away, I put it down. I'm like probably a third of the way through that. And then I'm like, I got my hand in the one that they made the show, Queen's Gambit.
Ooh.
My dad sent me that one. He really loved it. And then I started Crazy Rich Asians like years ago, and I still have a book.
Dude, I am like, I've been halfway through Crazy Rich Asians for 10 years, it feels like.
Yes.
I didn't know it was based on a book until now.
Yeah.
There's like five books. There's a lot of them.
Yeah. And I've watched the movie probably 8 times since then, but have I finished the book? No. So yeah, that's where I got all my hands in right now.
Wow. Very well-rounded.
Is the movie similar to the book from what you've read so far? Like, do they stay true to it?
I mean, I feel like I'm not far enough in to be able to like say, but yes, I feel like the beginning of it seems pretty realistic too. And it's a fun book, but I just like the movie better right now because it's quicker to watch. Also, it's just like probably one of the most enjoyable rom-coms I've seen. I know it like had a lot of issues, and like a lot of people have, you know, many criticisms. Like, I think many people who have to put a movie that like represents your culture on such a big pedestal, you know, because it's like the only one. But I feel like in terms of storytelling, considering all the rom-coms we have, it was so nice to see something so different than like everything else. And I really love it. I love watching it. It's like my comfort movie. I'm like, oh, I'm having a bad day, I'm going to watch Crazy Rich Asians. And, you know.
Oh. I've only seen it the one time. I really should revisit.
I mean, I just love a rom-com. So it's like, you know, like if I'm going to indulge in a rom-com, I'm going to... Now my new one is Father of the Bride. I'm talking about it all the time. Love it, love it, love it.
I need to rewatch that. That's like a favorite of a lot of people.
Well, no. The new one. There's a new one on HBO.
Oh, no. It's a new one?
Yeah, there's a new one. Father of the Bride, not two. With just Father of the Bride. And it's based on a Cuban family in Miami. Ooh. And I love it. And I like went to Miami last weekend, and it was my first time. And I was like, oh my God, this movie, like, is Miami. Like, you know, because like sometimes a movie's based in a place and you're like, oh, this is such a stereotype. It doesn't feel like that actual city. And I was like, oh no, this is Miami. Like the movie was so accurate. I was shocked.
Wow.
But
I gotta watch that.
Highly recommend. It was so, so good. It's
funny. I didn't know there was a new one. I mean, maybe I did, and I just like forgot that part of my...
They were promoting it heavy, but also like I am their demographic to be promoting it too. So maybe I was being targeted with Father the Bride. But it made me cry. I laughed. I cried. It was beautiful. Everyone was super white. And I was like, another Latino movie that's super white. Mm-hmm. But then I went to Miami and I was like, they are. I was like, they are I had never seen more white Latinos, like white Latinos in my life. Like blue-eyed, blonde, like people that look European speaking to you in Spanish and not Spain Spanish, like Europeans that speak Spanish, like Cuban Spanish speaking to you. And you're like, whoa, like everywhere. We were in Nordstrom's, a place that you would assume someone would speak to you in English, automatically speaking to us in Spanish. And not because of like a weird racist thing that we get sometimes when my partner and I walk around places because he's Peruvian and I'm Puerto Rican, but like just genuinely everyone just speaks Spanish in Miami. Like no one, like the assumption is that you speak Spanish first and then maybe you speak English. But it was like we parked the car one time and someone was like, oh yeah, we don't have to pay parking here, right? Like it's like back home. And Orlando was like, back home who? I'm not from here. And they're like, oh, you're not from Cuba? It was like, why are you assuming he doesn't look Cuban? I don't look Cuban. Like, it's like, but yeah, the assumption is that you are Cuban and that you're either from Miami or you're from Cuba and that everyone speaks Spanish. It is not like anywhere else in the United States.
Wow. But that sounds like a place you need to visit.
I highly recommend. I had a lot of fun. I am not a party person, so I did not think
right, me either.
I'd have fun like that in Miami. But there's a lot to see, a lot to do that doesn't involve like being at the club. I mean, you can. There is a horny side of Miami. But you don't have to do that. There's plenty of museums, so many beautiful architecture, so many like exhibits and beaches and just like food and great things to do.
Probably really good food because it's
the food was great. Yeah. We went to like a Michelin star Greek restaurant. Oh my God, it was incredible. So
awesome.
I recommend.
Anna, have you been
there?
That's
cool. Maybe I want to go to Miami. No, but I want to go. I almost went for my 30th birthday, but then COVID happened and I had to cancel my plans. But one day I'll go and maybe I'll enjoy it. Maybe I won't. We'll see. Time will tell. One place I don't enjoy, which I've spoke about on this podcast before, is Heathrow Airport. Anyway.
I knew that was coming.
I knew that
the
one,
Queen really... really brought the queen back really, the anger.
Yeah, exactly. She brought back that repressed memory.
It brought all those emotions back up, you know? No, that was funny. We got an email from like iHeart being like, hey, like send any sort of like, you know, monarchy or, you know, British thing to us. We're trying to like cut something together. I'm assuming. I guess maybe they're putting a playlist together. And I was like, should I include that?
Yeah, I think they were going to put a playlist.
Should I include the one where I go in? Yeah. What is the episode is literally called?
We are never going to Heathrow Airport.
Yeah, we are never going to Heathrow. I just thought that would be so funny. I'm like, yeah, we have something to contribute.
Yeah, that was very funny.
We have got something to contribute. Never go to Heathrow.
I mean, but I'm assuming some podcasts that talk about any of those things, there has to be like a political thing or like something going on. You don't just talk about the royal family.
Dude, I don't
I'm
know.
I'm assuming they're looking for people who like are talking about the crown or something.
Like, yeah, or like royal family shit.
Or like Harry and Meghan.
Yeah.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I didn't ask any questions. I was going to troll and then I was like, girl, this is not the time.
Just the title alone would be really funny on that playlist though.
We are not going to Heathrow. That's just like...
Never.
Ever.
It's just me being like, after everything they put this world through, the nerve.
I got to pay taxes to enter that airport.
Mm-hmm. Dude, that airport is the devil in itself. Here's the thing. When the queen died, Heathrow should have died.
Oh, my God.
That's just what I think.
We're going to close the whole airport.
No more. I also just saw this Al Jazeera headline that really gave me the old, oh, man, they deleted it.
Wait, really? What was it?
Oh, man.
What was the gist of it?
It was, it's just too good. It said, like, experts say that King Charles III will be tasked with uniting the royal family. I mean,
don't know how good he's gonna do with that.
No, he's not gonna do it at all. He's a goddamn fool. Have you ever seen him do or say anything of note? Because you know what? They hide his ass.
Why would they delete that? That's weird. That's to true. Delete that, I feel like.
Literally, there's no good press about King Charles. Or like Charles the son. Like, have you ever heard anything positive about Prince Charles?
So wait, question. If King Charles dies, does Prince Charles become king?
Mm-hmm. I think.
No, no, he is.
Or Prince Williams, sorry.
Or wait, the firstborn, or like whoever's, who's the firstborn? Yeah.
So Prince William will become king.
That's what it feels like will happen. Is there anyone else?
Let's see. Let's watch this episode of Succession.
Not that it matters.
Let's see. Succession, the royal family. Let's see. It goes.
Because there's like so many people. I'm like, who?
All right. They're going to need to like include.
They need to build a map.
Yeah. Hold on. There's an image. Let's see. You know someone made this shit.
I do think it's funny that when you put Succession and then R-O in Google, the first thing that comes up is Succession Rotten Tomatoes for the show. And then Royal Family.
Okay, yeah. So it goes Charles and then it goes, whoa, this is wild.
Yeah,
it goes
Prince William.
And then it goes George, Charlotte, Louis, and then Harry.
And then Harry,
And
yeah.
then Archie and Lilibet.
That's why Harry said, fuck them.
And then Andrew.
Yeah. He's like, I'm literally never going to become king anyway.
Yo, what are the odds it gets to Andrew? The pedophile. The one who was caught up in like the Jeffrey Epstein shit.
Oh,
I feel
right.
like I should have known how this works watching Princess Diaries 2, but I forgot. It's been a while.
Oh, and then from Andrew, it could go to his daughters, Beatrice or Eugenie, and their kids. And then it goes to Edward, who's Edward? I don't know who the fuck. He's the Duke of Edinburgh. I don't know. He's a rando.
Interesting.
He's one of those randos out there. And then, God.
So wait, if after, so terrible. William, George, and then there'll be a princess if it ever comes to that. Princess Charlotte.
And then didn't they have one more?
Oh, she's a prinny now, right?
Yeah, she's a princess now.
Is that she's still called that, I guess? I guess I don't
prinny.
Know.
Yeah, I call them prinnies. Just joking.
That's cute.
That's a straight up lie.
I was like, that's cute.
I just literally lied to your face.
I believed you, so.
Okay, so Philip was her husband.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
All these white people.
And they're like inbred too, you know?
Yeah, and not a good thing to say about any of them.
No.
Except for Meghan Markle.
Because she's not in.
The only one that meant anything wasn't even them. It was Diana. Yeah. And they ruined her.
And they killed Diana. They just straight murked Diana.
100%.
There was a really great meme I saw today of, which also got deleted. Damn, these tweets are so good. We got to be screenshotting because they're funny. It's like the gates of heaven, the doors. And it was like, Diana real quick, like, let me go lock these doors real quick.
I love that. I love that.
I hope she is beating. I bet the queen lived that long because she's like, I cannot face Diana. She's like, I will not be done.
I gotta stay here as long as possible.
I hope she is quivering in her little prancy little shoes, her little like kitten weird shoes. Kitten heels? She always wore like little tiny shoes.
Yeah, kitten heels.
She was too old. Anyway.
Anna, what book are you reading?
I am reading a book about the royal family. Just joking.
Do you want to take a break and then tell us what the book is?
Yeah.
Okay, whatever.
BRB.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
And we're back. The twist here is I'm not reading a book. Just kidding. I am. It's a book that I'm reading for another podcast I'm doing, so I can't talk too much about it. But I am reading Constance Wu's book, her memoir called Making a Scene. Make a Scene?
I didn't know she had a memoir.
She just released it when she like reintroduced herself to the public sphere.
Well, it's not out yet, I don't think. Let's see.
I meant like she mentioned it.
Hold on. It's called Making a Scene. Okay, cool. Yeah, it's good. It's interesting. It covers a lot of her life and a lot of her career and a lot of her choices and like why she's like really dramatic and shit. And it's called Making a Scene because let me tell you, she is making some choices in life that had me at some points being like, no, bitch, don't do it. And yet she does it. And so kind of explains it all leads up to her like kind of Twitter situation where she was like upset that she was
renewed for another
renewed
season.
Which when you like really read her situation on set, it was not, I don't know. I mean, like, look, I'm not excusing what she did. I think it was just like unnecessary to tweet that, and also it's unnecessary to send death threats to people and like treat them like cyberbully them to want to kill themselves. That's also not okay. But a lot of her experience on Fresh Off the Boat gives a lot of context as to why she might not want to do that show anymore. And it kind of, yeah, I would recommend checking out the book.
Interesting.
When it comes out, whenever it comes out.
Yeah.
October, I think. Sorry. I did not plan well. Let's see.
Yeah, it says October 4th.
October 4th. Go get it.
That's my birthday.
It's your birthday?
October 4th.
On October 4th.
Oh my god!
And does she know this?
Does she, Constance Wu, know?
She decided to release it on the day.
Happy birthday.
I'll listen back to this episode and just be like, thanks, guys.
Is there anything you want to say to your future self?
I hope you have something fun planned.
Okay. We'll see.
If not, yeah, get we'll on it now. It, yeah. You have like 24 hours.
That's interesting. I don't read a lot of memoirs, and I feel like I should, because I feel like it's really fascinating to hear like a first-person account of something.
I love drama, so that's why I read them.
But I feel like I have to really care about the person first. Like,
I agree.
Yeah.
I read Elaine Welteroth's memoir, or I read half of it. It was actually very good. She's an incredible writer, but I was in a weird time in my life when I was reading it, so I did not have time to finish
it. Yeah. No, although totally.
I love Michelle Obama. The memoir was slow. Did not finish.
That's interesting. I didn't want to read that. I got it. Someone gave it to me. And then I couldn't read it because I was like, this feels like it's going to be like, be positive.
Right. I mean, that. When you're a figure like that, it's like kind of, you can't really say everything. You know, it's very neutered.
I think I genuinely don't believe in the concept of when they go low, go high. I just don't believe in that like at all. I think it's kind of like naive to say something like that. And I'm sorry to come for Michelle Obama like that.
You're just going
to
go even lower.
I mean, I think like if they go low, what do you mean go high? No, go strategic and ruin them. That's what I believe.
Be petty.
Yeah.
Be petty. Hey.
Be petty, but be smart petty. Be petty in a way that someone goes, oh, you don't fuck with them. Oh, I mean, like, they won't outright ruin your life, but they find a way to, like, scandal your ass to death, you know?
To me, that's going high sometimes. You beat them. You're going higher.
That's what I think. I'm like, you're going higher by, like, putting them in their fucking place.
Yeah.
We can have each our own interpretations of what high means, you know?
Yeah.
That's I don't know. I'm very petty, so I'm not the best person to talk to about that. But I recently read, because I've been wanting to read it for a long time, but I read Kitchen Confidential that Anthony Bourdain wrote in, oh shit, I thought it was the 90s. Hold on, I should have been ready about that.
I think late 90s or early, 99 or early 2000s?
It was 2000. It was right May of 2000. He published this book. I mean, it's very well known. It's like what brought him into like the public sphere, essentially. And I liked it. I think I listened to the audiobook, which I think counts as reading because I was following along. But I just wanted to hear him say it. I think that's what I like.
Yeah.
That's what intrigued me about the audiobook is like, oh, he's reading his own words and like he's telling the story as he lived it. So he has a bunch of interesting stories and it's really sad to look at it like retrospectively after he's killed himself because he talks a lot about suicide. He talks about like depression and mental health and just all of these things like drugs and all these vices he had that he, I don't know, that he couldn't escape or something. But yeah, there's one passage that really depressed me about someone he knew that took his life. And he was saying, like, once you're that depressed, like, you'll always be, like, there's no hope, almost. Like, there was something along the lines of, like, some people will never not be depressed. And, like, looking back on it, he was maybe projecting it, talking about himself. It's just, I don't know. But I liked it. And I think the audiobook is worth a listen if anyone wants, especially if they like cooking or anything as far as, like, kitchen shit. But I read that. And then there's a book that I've pretended that I've read. There's a couple of these books that I've pretended that I've read. In college, my friend gave me The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer. And I read maybe like 20 pages and I put it down and I didn't pick it up ever again. and it's about like being present and being mindful and like getting out of your head and living the like I don't know what the best way to describe it. I want to see how they describe it. To free yourself from your limitations and discover like inner peace and serenity. I think it sounds like really hokey pokey from the description, but I really like the idea of trying to be more present and being mindful. So I finally read that through the whole way. And I liked it. I think even if I had read it back then, part of me doesn't think I would appreciate it like I do now. So maybe it was just like meant for me to be ready to receive like, I don't know, really heady information that like sounds made up and is made up. I don't know if that makes sense. But yeah.
I mean, self-help books can be tough. It's like you have to be in the right mindset and the right place to really like absorb the information. I've also been reading like 3 or 4 different like mental health related books that I've had to like pick up and go from time to time based on how ready was I to read this right now.
Yeah, totally. There's a chapter on death that really resonated or like I felt was really strong to me, just about the concept of death and how we as a society aren't equipped to deal with it and how it's just normal and all this stuff. I just thought it was really I don't know. I think that kind of like thinking is necessary sometimes because I didn't even realize it was self-help till you said that. But I guess it is because I was just like reading it. Yeah, it does. It definitely does.
I feel like it falls like because like I think there's like the gross side of self-help that it's like live a happy life. You know, it's like that like let me. Yeah, the secret to happiness or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of good therapy books. I guess that's more of like where yeah. I would categorize that. Because I'm reading right now also Adult Children of Emotionally Immature Parents. You know, I think every immigrant kid, every BIPOC kid could probably use.
Big relate.
A read of that. I feel like my friend recommended it to me, and I feel like I've been recommending it left and right to my friends. And then I also read The Human Magnet Syndrome last summer. That was a very helpful read. If you have codependency tendencies and you have narcissistic people in your life, whether it be, I read it because of my brother, but you know, I also notice how parallels of like my relationship with my brother really showed up in who I dated and like why maybe exes of my past had narcissistic tendencies because of the relationship I had with my brother. My therapist recommended it to me because I've been going through a lot with my brother. Mm. And we went no contact about 2 years ago. And so last summer she was like, you should read this book. I think it'll help you contextualize like, you know, what you're going through. And I was like, even though it's meant for like relationships, the first chapter, the author who's like a psychologist kind of breaks down his family history and like all these different relationships in his family that like have these like very polarized, like narcissistic and codependent marriage. Like one partner is a narcissist, one partner's super codependent. And like, how that reflected in him and how he became a codependent person and how he became susceptible to dating narcissistic people. And I was like, whoa. And it was like interesting to kind of look through it and be like, wow, I see parallels in my family and like where this kind of pops up and like maybe how we got here and how this reflected in my dating life. And the whole goal, I think, by the end of the book is to like try to meet yourself in the middle. Like he has a spectrum that's like a zero is like super codependent and a six is like super narcissistic, and your goal is to be like at the neutral like level, a three, so that you like have an idea of like your codependent tendencies and your narcissistic tendencies and how you can like be in a healthy balanced relationship versus like if you are like at a zero, you're gonna tend to like a magnet attract people that are at six, but the healthier you are, you'll attract people that are closer to
I like that
the
yeah.
center. So highly recommend if you're dealing with
yeah, that. I like that. I like that. I will definitely look that up because I do need a new book. I was going to start reading The Year of Magical Thinking, but I also should finish another book I already started that I've probably even talked about on this podcast. It was a long time ago that I started it. But The Wisdom of Insecurity by Alan Watts has been really, I've been loving that book. It's a really short read, so I'm almost done. And it's like just easy to flip through because it's a bunch of his lectures. But it's just about like philosophy and again, like embracing the present and living in the moment. I don't know why. I just really need that right now. Really need someone to tell me to like chill out. But yeah, I think he had his issues, but I do enjoy his lectures. And there's a meditation app that I use where they have some of his lectures like that you can hear like by him. And that's been really interesting to like drive to sometimes. But he calls like the time that we're living in and the time that he wrote that, like the age of anxiety and what that means and how everyone is operating on a level of insecurity at some, like, I don't know. I'm not good at describing the book, but I am good at recommending it. It's really, really good. Yeah, it's just this Goodread sentence says, it underlines the importance of our search for stability in an age where human life seems vulnerable and uncertain. So I don't know. It like steadies and helps you be present. But yeah, those are the things.
I listen to Alan Watts lectures sometimes too.
Yeah, he's really fun to listen to.
Some people have like remixed them into songs too because he has such a like deep kind of sonorous voice and he's like speaking all this wisdom.
I love that he's not hard to listen to. Like, he's engaging and he's funny. So I think that makes what he's saying not, like, annoying and lectury. Like, the kids are, like, you can hear, like, some lectures where, like, kids are laughing or, like, her students. Yeah. Not kids. But, like, students are laughing. And, like, he's engaging with people and he's doing, like, a back and forth talk. So, yeah. His lectures are really, if you ever want to listen to something and, like, I don't know, pay attention. For me, because I have to pay attention. I have this really annoying habit to always, if I'm listening to an audiobook or anything audio, I'll replay the last like 10 seconds over and over and over because I'm not paying attention. Like I haven't absorbed anything. Yeah. So it's like, what's the point of trying to be present, Shireen? Like if you can't even listen to this one sentence.
That's why I feel like, you know, some people can like cook and listen to podcasts and stuff or wash the dishes. And
I can't
because then like my hands are occupied and I can't go back 15 seconds to re-listen. Like I have to sit in a dark room to listen to podcasts. Yeah, I have to focus.
I have to focus. I can't like, because I want to know the information. And I can't, I'm not able to really focus and like absorb anything. Even if I'm just sitting still, I have problems. Yeah. So like, how am I expected to multitask? But yeah, that's a good, well-rounded, all of us gave some really interesting books. I like that. Well-rounded.
Do you want to hear something interesting?
Please.
It's not interesting at all, but I have spent a good amount of time in Berlin in my life, and there's like a sort of energy there where every single person who lives there appears to be having an existential crisis, because the only type of you if you ever go to Berlin, go to a cafe where it appears that there's a lot of like people hanging out at tables, get yourself a coffee and just sit and listen to what everyone is saying, and you will hear some of the craziest shit you've ever heard in your life. You will not hear a single conversation where you feel like that person is having a good time. Every conversation you overhear in Berlin is some of the most serious, deep, existential shit you'll ever hear in your life. So anyway, just what you guys were talking about made me think, like, this is like a conversation I would be overhearing right now in Berlin.
Oh my God.
People be like, I am like really trying to be more intentional. I am trying to be more present.
Hey,
I was like, wow, I feel like I was literally at a cafe, like a French cafe in Berlin with friends. And I was just zoning out while my friends were talking about whatever. And I was just listening to these people at the table next to us. And they were literally having that exact same thing. And then it's a real thing where my friend was like, yeah, I remember you saying like a few years ago, like, and I repeat this often, that like no one in Berlin has anything but serious conversations. And I was like, yeah, I still fucking feel that way. Everyone's like, so like, and like literally, and there are people, I was talking to my friend's friend who I'd just met for the first time. We hadn't met in previous visits, but I met him, and he's like a Turkmen, like ethnically a Turkmen from, his mother's from Palestine and his dad is, from like the Golan Heights, but he was raised in Syria, but has since been displaced from Syria, and now his family like lives in Denmark, and he lives in Berlin. And he was like I was like, yeah, how are you? How's everything going? Almost immediately, I was in like the most intense conversation with him about religion and like
God
and like how to like separate yourself from your parents' like judgment, and like I was like, I literally just sat down and I was being like, dude, it's not about you. Or like, it's not about your family. It's about what you feel. And he's like, I know, I'm trying to find my way. And then I was like, almost at the end of the conversation, I like got up and I was like, we have to leave. I got sucked into one of those conversations and I like just met this guy. Why am I like trying to talk him to like how to have his own like Islam? Like, it was just like,
Do they not have enough entertainment? Like, do they not have, you know,
no,
like
they don't have, like, no one in Berlin like has a TV in their apartment. Like, no one does anything.
Yeah, that's what they don't. Because I was like, in like the United States, we're chronically online.
Like, they don't do shit like that.
Everyone goes to techno concerts and stuff where they have more existential questions.
Yeah. Well, they go to like, you know, like clubs and dance, and they can dance because clubs are open from like Thursday to like Tuesday, and they're open nonstop. So you just go and you like take drugs and you can dance for hours. Or you go to like a sex club and get fucking, you know, do your thing.
Sex stuff. Yeah.
Do your thing.
If you can get in, because they have like all these rules. But anyway.
Understandable.
It's
safety.
There's no like, no one is like, hey, were you? Okay, so I went to one woman's house who's a friend of a friend, and she had a TV. And I was like shook. And it was like a massive TV. And I was like, you have a TV? And she's like, oh, I have kids. And I was like, okay. And she's like, but I also like to watch TV. But also, she's American. Anyway, it's a whole thing. Like, I was like, shake into my core that she had a TV. And I was like sitting there watching TV with the kid. I was like, this is fun. I forgot what it's like to have a TV.
Oh my God, thank God, there's TV.
But no one has like, my friend Patty, when I went to her apartment, like it was all like antiques. And she's like my age. I was like, what is this, a dusty old like typewriter? Like, what are you doing here? Like, what is going on? Like, where do you find things to do? And they're like, what do you mean? I just like roll cigarettes and sit on my balcony and smoke them.
And I read.
Yeah. What, girl?
Like, you're like, what? I'm watching too much reality TV to read this book.
Yeah. Anyway, hey. No, they don't like have entertainment like that. They're all just like having existential crises.
Maybe they all need to go to some type of therapy, because instead of therapizing with strangers like that person did with you.
I mean, possibly. But,
that's
possibly
part of it. It's definitely part of it.
I mean, like, I don't want to also be like, back to the, like, I don't want to queef on your queen or whatever. But I do think a middle ground between what Berlin, like, what you've been describing and, like, what is here is maybe the ideal situation. Like, I respect the attempt at, like, the lack of TV is interesting to me. I don't have a TV, but I also have this laptop that I use like a TV.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really, whatever. But I think a big part of, like, I don't know, living actual life means, like, you go outside and you smell something and you, like, breathe and you remember that, like...
Okay, so here's the other thing. So yeah. The cost of living in Berlin is a lot cheaper. Like, they have, like, apartments for, like, 500 euros a month. Like, they don't have to work as much as us, and most of them don't work as much as us. They literally will, like...
Why? Like, why wouldn't they?
I mean, like, I have friends who, like, work, like, 3 months out of the year, and then they spend the rest of the time. Or they, like, just do, like, freelance work here and there, and they can pay their rent.
Yeah.
Honestly, I did have European clients at my last job, and they never worked. Like, we had this year-long project, and they'd be like, yeah, so, like, we're going to be off this month, so we'll just, like, resync on this next phase in like, 6 weeks. No, and I'm like,
they don't work.
Cool. Like, let me just pause this nine-month project.
Hey, I would rather be... the European work culture is so far better than what we have here. It is. Absolutely. What we have here is... yeah, I don't know.
Well, let's just say I stayed with my friend for like 2 weeks, and I don't think she worked like at all while I was there. Like, I took PTO.
She just, like,
no, yeah. She was just like, hold on, I need to like post this for this guy, like, because she runs like social media team. She's like, let me just post this thing. Anyway, like, what should we do? I'm like, that's it, bitch. That's all he did for the day. Like, that's like what it's like. And yesterday, she's in LA, and she was like, yeah, like, I didn't like, even like really work while you were there. And I was like, I noticed. Like, you guys don't work. Like, my friend Patty, I can hit her up at any time. She's like, yeah, let's go get a drink. Like, they're all just chilling. Literally just chilling.
But they have enough money to survive, so it sounds like a good... I don't know.
I don't even know if they do. I think they don't care, because they're like, whatever,
they're
dude.
Too present.
The vibes are too chill.
Yeah, they're so present in the moment and worrying about their, like, you know, internal crises that they're like... They're not distracted by the things that we're distracted by. Like, they're not compartmentalizing like we are so aggressively. They're, like, really, like, thinking about things. And, like they go to the park and, like, think.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa, you did what today? They're like, I don't know. I just, like, sat on a park bench and read a book. And you're like, what? On a park? And you were outside your house and you were reading a book?
Hey, goals.
And it's just next level.
Yeah, if I go do that at the park, I get yelled at.
Oh, really?
New York's loud. There's a lot of people that are gonna just bug you. Like, I recorded a video on my phone for, like, my close friends on Instagram, and then I, like, played it back, and I was walking, like, back from, like, within the block of my apartment from, like, the corner to, like, my door, and, like, you just hear outside. I'm so tuned out to it, but I play the video back, and it's like, meow, meow. And then you just hear someone yelling, and there's like a dog barking.
Wow.
And it's like, hey, beautiful. And it's like, I didn't hear any of
you
that.
You tuned all of that out.
I'm truly just like, anyway.
Yeah.
That's so funny. I like that.
Yeah. Anyway, that's what it's like there. And I think we're all sick in our heads here.
Yeah. No, I agree. This is the worst nation in the world, unlike what people want to believe. One of. I don't know. I'm thinking about health insurance now. That's a different topic. But this was a fun little roundtable. Thank you for doing it with us.
Woo. Yeah, thank you. So fun.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think that's it. Right?
My friend.
Yeah. Shout out to TB, tuberculosis, the best team you could ever have.
I know that you don't have Instagram, Trisha, but do you guys want to plug any socials? You can say no.
Any biz?
Becca, go for it.
Sure.
Yes, go ahead.
I will plug my very inactive socials, Bex, B-E-C-C-S, Ramos, on everything.
That's not true. You post stories.
I do post Instagram stories. I used to be way more active about it, though. Like,
no, me
I
too.
Was like,
yeah.
And now I'm, but, and then I want to plug Milmundos. Milmundos NYC on all platforms. You can go to milmundosbooks.com. All the books, you can be anywhere. We ship internationally. Yeah, you can order our whole inventory online. You do not have to shop in store. We also do the Spanish classes. If you want to sign up, they're virtual. And you also, if there's like a book that you're looking for, you can email us at info@milmundosbooks.com and we can like order it for you, like specialty. Our books specialize in like specifically only like BIPOC authors. So if you're looking for white authors, you're simply just like not going to find it. But they have a really, the thing I love about working at that shop is that the selection is incredible. Like there's just such an interesting, like, diligent, clearly like thoughtful process to the book selection. There's like a whole book selection team that they like really intently like look at new authors and like try to source like really interesting like new and upcoming like BIPOC authors. So we have everything from like realistic fiction and nonfiction to like there's so much like if you're like really into astrology and like that stuff, there's like a ton of interesting astrology books. We got like self-help. We got a lot of history books about like Latin America. Our fiction section is incredible. We have a lot of really awesome new bestsellers. And also we have a lot of Spanish books. That's like what we pride ourselves on, trying to have just as much inventory that's in English that are by Latinx authors, just as much as we do like actually like Spanish written books, not translated books. That's I think a big issue in a lot of American bookstores, that these books were English books just translated to Spanish, for whereas like these are stories that are written with the thought of someone who speaks and is of the, you know, Latin culture. So yeah. But there's like Bell Hooks is a big seller. You know, like we have way more than just like Latinx books.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you. And I think everyone listening to this knows where to find us online. Do you agree, Anna?
I'm at Anna Hosni on Twitter and at Selling Hosni on Instagram. Would love to see you there.
I have also been much less active. I have a very strange relationship with social media right now. I'm not avoiding it, but for whatever reason, it doesn't interest me like it used to. So you can follow me if you find me. Anyway, that's the episode.
Is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.